You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. It is Friday, time for our reporter roundtable. This is where we get you up to date on all the news that made headlines around our region this last week. Joining us live in studio today, Scott McIntosh with the Idaho Press, James Dawson with Boise State Public Radio News, and Don Day with BoiseDev.com. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. Hello.
And happy Friday.
Yes.
All right, Scott, let's get right into it and start with you, because the Wilkes brothers, these Texas billionaires, back in the news because they close yet another road.
Yeah, and this is kind of a legally murky area, but we have another report of a road closure, this time in Valley County near Smith's Ferry. And this is apparently a road closure from DF Development. This is the Wilkes Brothers development company. They have been purchasing thousands of acres of private land all over Idaho, ostensibly for the purpose of developing. And the latest report is that this National Forest Service road got closed down. And, you know, for anybody who's been in the Idaho backcountry, you know, these roads are not, this is not, you know, I-84 or Meridian Road. This is a, these are
the roads closed.
Yeah. What's going on?
Dirt roads, semi-developed, sometimes gravel roads.
But they're still access roads.
So they're still access so that people can get into the backcountry. And apparently this particular road near Smith's Ferry is popular with ATV riders and hunters. And it allows folks to get to hunting grounds and other places in the backcountry. And, you know, you've got public land and then you've got private land and then you've got public land and there's a road that goes through it. And one of the legal questions in all of this, and this is why it's so murky, is whether taxpayer dollars were used to develop that road or at least maintain that road. So you probably have seen it from time to time that a motor grader will come through and grade the road, particularly in the spring. And if taxpayer dollars were used for that, you know, does that mean that taxpayers, the public, has a right to drive on that road? Or is it private property, and do the Wilkes brothers have a right to close that off and say, no, you can't come onto my property? And so it's still being worked out, and the Idaho Wildlife Federation is involved in this and keeping an eye on that. And we'll see if and this is going to happen again, because, like I said, the Wilkes brothers are buying up thousands of acres of property under DF Development, we're going to see this come up again, and it's going to be tricky to figure out what the legal answer is to this, whether there is an easement for this or whether it's private property.
And a lot of times the roads are being used not so much to access the Wilkes brothers' land, but the public lands on the other side.
Exactly.
Right, right. So it's that it's getting from point A to point B.
Yeah.
And now you can't do that when these roads are closed.
Right. But then what's to stop somebody from, you know, pulling off the side of the road in Wilkes Brothers property and getting out and walking around? And so, you know, it's definitely a legally murky area that's going to have to get solved at some point.
So, Jimmy, get us up to date, first off, and bring us up to date on former Idaho GOP chair. He was arrested, and then you were in court this morning. But give us the background information for people maybe that haven't been following this story.
Totally. So former GOP chair Jonathan Parker, he was arrested a couple weeks ago on a felony stalking charge related to his estranged wife filed for divorce from him in March, shortly after he actually stepped down from his post with the Republican Party, saying he needed to focus on his family. And police say that he was wearing a wig and masturbating in bushes outside of his estranged wife's apartment complex. He claims when he had his hearing, you know, a few days after that or a day after that, he claims that he was going to a costume party and he was peering into windows at the complex to scare a different unnamed woman. And so he was in court this morning for a preliminary hearing that eventually got postponed. And then the judge, you know, the judge wasn't dramatic, but it was dramatic in the courtroom when he said, well, we've got this misdemeanor trespass warrant for you and we're taking you into custody. And he looked completely shocked. He had no idea, or at least seemed to not know, that he was going to jail. And he's been since booked this morning. I mean, this happened at just a little before 9 o'clock.
Right. You were there in the courtroom for the original charges and what was going on with that. And in fact, you posted a picture. I think is it up on our website at this point?
Yes, it is.
And he looks fairly shocked. But at this point, we don't know if it's a violation of the what his
original
charges, right? You're still working on that aspect of it.
Yeah, I mean, I checked just a few minutes before we got in here. Nothing is in the court records. I've filed a public records request to get a copy of the warrant, so we'll see if that comes down at any time. But at this point, no, we don't know what this is related to, but it's a misdemeanor trespass charge.
So it could be something where he violated a no-contact order, but we just don't know. That was not discussed in court.
No, it wasn't.
So his next appearance, though, in court for the original charges are mid-August.
Yes, correct. And then he has since been booked into Ada County Jail, and his next appearance on this new trespass charge will be Monday.
So that's where that stands.
Yep.
So there's so much going on. I go away for 2 weeks, and look what happens. So, Don.
No vacations.
No more vacations for me because I cannot keep everything straight. All right, Don. Not surprising, more construction in downtown Boise. Talk to us about this latest build that will happen at 11th and Idaho. And I guess it's not the latest. I mean, we finally just know what's going to happen with this plot of land.
Yeah, so let's help scene set for people because I get this question a lot. This is the plot of land that's on the same block as the El Cora Shrine. The El Cora Shrine is not going away. It's across from the Record Exchange. So we're talking about right downtown at 11th and Idaho.
So that parking lot,
it's a big parking lot across from the, if you've lived here a little while, you think of it as Boise Cascade.
Yes.
It's called Boise Plaza.
Mm-hmm.
So Raffinelli and Nahas owns this plot, and they are planning to build a new 10-story building. The first floor would have retail. The rest of the floors would have unnamed office tenants. They don't really have those hammered down yet. And then the top would have a rooftop deck. They've hired a pretty big-name architect out of Seattle called Perkins & Will to do this. And I talked to Scott Shaner, who's the developer, last week. And he was talking about how they've really worked to try not to do what happens with a lot of projects, where they start with a big idea and then they value engineer and strip off all the fun parts and it just becomes kind of
another building.
Yeah. And so he's emphasizing a really nice lobby space and nice amenities for the tenants. If you're not interested in an office space, as many people aren't, what I think is really interesting for people is that about half the block or so is going to be a new public park.
Yeah.
So it adds some needed green space downtown in that area. Right now it's kind of a sea of parking lots. So Raffinelli and Nahas is working with the Capital City Development Corporation, which is the urban renewal agency in Boise, and Boise City Parks and Rec to put together this new park. And it's going to have things like, you know, a fountain, splash pads, grass, space, a stage. They're kind of still working through that. So now we know timeline. They hope to start building in August and be done by the end of 2020. They hope to start working on the park in April of next year and also be done with that around Thanksgiving of the next year of 2020. So another big addition, another thing happening downtown. And I think a lot of people are like, when are we going to get some more tall buildings? And this is the next one.
What's interesting, though, about this is there are just so many buildings coming up. It really is that green space. Because if we think about the core of downtown, I mean, what do we have? Basically that tiny little C.W. Moore Park with the water wheel.
The Grove, the Boise City Hall Plaza, the area in front of the State House. I mean, there are a few. But this will be one of the larger ones. I actually might have to go check. This might be the largest sort of park space downtown.
And will it? I mean, do we know? I mean, this might sound silly, but what about like when we say green space? I mean, like grass. Because when I think of park, I mean the Grove.
The folks at home can't see it, but if you go to BoiseDev.com, you'll see a rendering that shows a pretty big grass patch,
which you don't have downtown. Because yes, the Grove Plaza, but I think about like people with kids, right, and things like that. Like, that's completely different. I mean, that adds a whole new aspect.
Well, and I asked Scott Shaner with Raffinelli and Nahas, like, well, so why are you giving up half of your property to a park?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, well, you know, the altruistic side of us says we need a park. But it increases the value of the building. He can get a higher rent from tenants that have a nice building that overlooks and opens up onto a park. So it's kind of a, you know, when you think about it and you look at development and and I try and balance people who are cynical about development and people who are excited about development. This is one of those where you kind of go, okay, there's a little something for both here. We're going to get rid of a service parking lot, which doesn't really help a lot of people. This same company is the one that built that big, massive parking garage over by Boise Cascade. It's like 10 or 11 decks. They did it about 10 years ago. And he said, you know, we did this. We had this whole master plan for the area, and then the economy fell out. So we've got this big parking garage that will help service this new building already. So we're not really losing a lot by getting rid of a service parking lot and putting in a building and some grass.
Yeah. I mean, just that green space will be – whether you like the tall buildings coming in or not, I mean, there's something to be said about having green space in the core of a downtown.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm speaking with Scott McIntosh with the Idaho Press, Don Day with BoiseDev.com, and James Dawson with Boise State Public Radio News about our Friday Reporter Roundtable. So speaking of the city of Boise, Scott, what is going on with our sports park and our library ordinances? If you live in Boise, you see signs. What I like is to see a sign that supports the library on one side of the street and then another sign that doesn't on the other side of the street. I'm like, neighbors must not be happy with each other.
And this is kind of a complicated
issue. East End. You're right. Yeah. That's exactly where it is, Don.
But this group, Boise Working Together, successfully gathered enough signatures to get a ballot measure on the ballot to ask voters if they want to vote on the library or in sports park. So
we're having what? So we're getting a ballot? Wait, so we're putting a measure on the ballot to vote if we want to vote.
Correct. So okay. If this does get on the ballot, and it could be as early as August or November, voters in Boise would have a ballot measure that says, do you want to vote on the library project? Do you want to vote on the sports park project? And people can say yes or no. And so then if enough people say yes, then it would come up for a vote. So when the library project comes up, people would be able to vote on that project. Well, what the Boise City Council did this week is that they unanimously agreed to hold a public hearing that could preempt that first vote. In other words, they're going to have this public hearing at 6 o'clock on June 25th. And people will come in and speak and talk about specifically the issue of whether the voters should have a say in mm-hmm. these projects. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, well, and that brings up the point of, like, you know, the money that's used for these projects. What is that taking away from the city in terms of capital development?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, right. And I think, and you know, part of this has to do with urban renewal and the use of urban renewal dollars and how cities are able to get around a public vote.
So that's what I'm not fully understanding. So if it's supposed to go to a vote, but if they hold a public hearing, how could that potentially circumvent
the first vote?
The first vote?
It would make the second vote mandatory,
right? Right.
So okay. if they
would pass an ordinance that says, yes, if and when this project, the library project or the sports project comes up for approval, that we would go to the voters to vote on this and seek their approval.
And there's some interesting nuance that was pointed out to me here. If the city adopts the petition language into city code, they can later modify that language or repeal it. That's not the case if it goes to the voters. So you have to – and I was pointed out to me by somebody who has a say, we'll put it that way. So that's kind of an interesting thing to think about here as this goes along.
Well, and the timing of this, so this is an election year. So the mayor is up for election and there are a couple city council seats that are open. So arguably the city could go ahead and in good faith and feel good pass this ordinance. And then at some point later, when the library project actually does come up, they could rescind it or change it. And
it wouldn't have to go to that second vote.
Right.
Yeah. And it's interesting because the mayor, when the petitions first came out, issued this kind of a funny statement that was like, this shows all the people who support the library and didn't sign the petition. And I was like, well, that's kind of a strange way to phrase this. Mm-hmm. But then after this came up, he came out. Now, the mayor ostensibly doesn't have a vote unless the council ties. Mm-hmm. He came out and said, I support putting this on in city code and doing it that way. Which made me – I was surprised that –
Well, what changed between those two things? What changed is that he got a challenger. So Lauren McClain, yes. City Council mm-hmm. President, announced that she's running for mayor. So that's something that changed. And so I think it's interesting the timing of all this is happening in election year, and God bless democracy.
Yeah, right. So that public hearing June 25th at City Hall in Boise.
6 p.m.
So, Jimmy, former Ada County Treasurer Vicki McIntyre, her trial starts June 25th, correct?
Correct.
And she has an argument ready, and basically it is, I didn't know how you use personal and work funds.
Yeah, that's kind of the line that she's stuck to this entire time. If you remember back to a preliminary hearing earlier this year, that was kind of the argument that she made. And a judge was like, yeah, I don't really agree with that. You know, I don't know how you can conflate.
How you can go to a conference in Las Vegas
and spend
buy
money on hockey tickets and Ferris wheel rides and claim it as a business expense.
Say that I didn't know because the conference was promoting the hockey game.
Right. So the conference was promoting the hockey game that had its logo attached to it. And then also she said she was discussing business and networking throughout those two events that she paid for on her Ada County credit card. So from these new court documents, she has an expert witness lined up who's going to say, you know, these are not standard business practices, that things like an independent arbiter who can rule on whether or not something is a business or personal expense mm-hmm. before you spend money on it, mm-hmm. is standard, and that's how the county should have run this. And also Trainer, first of all.
Well, and that, I guess, was part of it. What I understood was that she's basically claiming that Ada County doesn't train their employees on what to know is a personal expense versus a work expense. And there is, you know, someone could argue that there's that fine line when maybe you take someone out to lunch or something like that and you write it off as a business expense, because isn't that part of her argument with this Ferris wheel ride in Vegas?
Oh, yeah.
Is that, how is that any different than going to lunch with someone and being able to write that off?
Well, and she specifically calls out former county commissioners Dave Case and Jim Tibbs, attaching as exhibits their business lunches with politicians from around the Treasure Valley and also internal employees such as the director of IT, for instance, and how they can write them off, but she can't. And also something else that she mentioned in there was that, you know, typically you ask your boss, right? Hey, is this a personal or business expense? Mm-hmm. In her case, is she asking herself? And can she rule on that herself? And she thought, yep, in my good judgment, I think that, yes, we can discuss business while watching hockey.
Those folks who've been around a while, like Gemma and I and Sam, probably remember Brent Coles getting some hot water in about 2002 mm-hmm. for going to a burlesque club in Key West with city employees and claiming it as a business expense. And
because they were
ultimately
with colleagues.
Jail. So yeah. It seems like a strange thing to me.
Well, especially
strange case to make.
Oh, it definitely is. And especially when you already have a judge on the record saying, because what, four of her seven charges, I think, were dismissed.
Right.
And so she's just facing these three ones.
Well, and it was, I think, Judge Dan Steckel who said, who her case came in front of. And he said on the record, these were flat out personal expenses. And so now this is her claim. And Don brings up an incredibly good point, because this is such a similar argument to what happened to former Boise Mayor Brett Coles.
Well, and I was trying to figure out how long she's been in town through a search, and I don't know. Maybe Jimmy does. But, like, anybody who lived here watched that all go down and I think was able mm-hmm. to see the delineation on what made sense as a public expense and what was a private expense.
Well,
an odd.
And I think it's going to be an interesting trial to cover because of that. Because, yes, okay, if there is not training, you can understand how someone would say, well, I had no training, so how was I supposed to know? At the same time, there's that common sense issue of, if you're going to a hockey game yeah. when you're in Vegas and it's not part of your training, that might be personal expense.
Well, and there's a difference between ethical and, you know, a fireable offense, and whether that strays into criminal behavior mm-hmm. is another issue.
Well,
and I think that, you know, and that's the burden of proof here, is whether this was a criminal act. You know, this has happened with other public officials, Ron Crane, state treasurer, mm-hmm. limousines for New York City, trips that are questionable whether he even needed to take with bond investors. And he didn't get charged, he didn't get fired, you know, nothing happened.
Mm-hmm.
There's definitely a legal gray area in this.
But we should also say that she did reimburse the county
she
for
did.
These expenses.
Yes,
too.
Yes, she did, to be very clear. But you're right, Scott. It is. Is it ethical or is it illegal? Mm-hmm. And that's the question. So, Scott, let's talk about what's going on in the city of Meridian, because I find this fascinating with Lime Scooters, because they've denied Lime Scooters, but Bird Scooters are okay?
Right.
Okay, what's the difference?
Another another kind of complicated one. As you might remember, Lime Scooters deployed e-scooters in Meridian last year. And I won't say it was a disaster, but it did not go well.
Right.
It lasted all of 6 days, and Meridian pulled the plug on it. And they said, well, all right, let's go back to the drawing board here. Let's put out a request for proposals. Let's have the companies actually answer some questions. Let's form a committee to evaluate the proposals. Lime and Bird applied, and a committee of people, citizens and city officials, evaluated the proposals, and they chose Bird and said, okay, Bird, we're going to let Bird deploy scooters, e-scooters in the city of Meridian. And Lime got upset and appealed the decision. They said it was unfair. One of the committee members gave Lime a score of 8 out of 100. Lime argued that, you know, this is clearly biased.
They like lemons.
So this week, Meridian City Council heard that appeal and listened to Lime's case, and basically decided no, this was still a fair process. Lime didn't answer all the questions correctly and didn't have good answers for some of the questions. And in the end, all of the committee members ranked Bird higher than Lime on scores of safety, customer service, response to complaints, things like that. And so across the board, Bird still got higher scores. There's another question about whether the city council or the city could award two contracts to two companies, and the wording of it was up to two. So Lime was arguing that, well, the city council should be considering two proposals, and we were the two that applied. So, but the wording was up to two, so that means they could select one, and that's what the committee did, is they selected one, and the city council upheld that decision. So Bird is good to go. That'll be as soon as next week. We could be seeing Bird scooters in Meridian. The contract is for 6 months. So in 6 months, at the beginning of the year, Lime could come back again and apply again. It'll be interesting to see how this goes in a city like Meridian. This is very different from Boise. I think in Boise, no one would argue that this was, you know, a raging success in Boise. But in a city like Meridian that doesn't have as much density, not as much mixed use and live workspaces in a very dense area, it'll be interesting to see how it goes over the next 6 months in Meridian.
And because what are there 4 or 5 now in the city of Boise?
Three.
Oh, is there 3?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought there was a new one that came on board.
Spin.
Okay. And right, so 6 months, it'll be interesting because it'll get them through the summer months as well, when I would think that ridership would be higher.
Right, it'll be a good test, and it's a limited basis, and they can reevaluate at the end of the year how it went.
So Don, before we wrap things up, I think we should talk about some things that are for sale in the city of Boise, in case people are looking for a new business venture. And this would be strip clubs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I forgot I pitched that one. I was like, where are we going with this one? Yeah. So The Torch and The Torch 2, icons all around, are for sale. And you can buy – here's the deal. I'll pretend I'm pitching this. For $4.15 million.
For what?
There's stuff to this. You get the clubs, the businesses, the buildings, the fixtures – the liquor license and the land underneath.
And there's
two clubs here. So there's the one downtown across from the Red Lion, or the Red Lion downtown,
which is getting an entire remake,
getting a whole new look. This is in an urban renewal area, and it's in a part of Boise that's growing pretty quickly. And the other one's on Vista Avenue, up by the train depot. So you get all this fun stuff if you've got $4 million. And you know, it's interesting because I don't know that this is going to attract somebody who wants maybe to buy and operate the strip clubs. Maybe it will. I don't know. Lots of jokes online as I posted this story about people.
There's such tradition there, right?
Yeah, and people look at this in the history before they were gentlemen's clubs, or at least the one downtown. It's been around for decades, since 1946.
Well, there are people in the city of Boise who talk about as kids going to the Torch with their family to have finger steaks.
Because
it wasn't a strip club.
I love meeting people who've only been here like 10 years. I mean, like, yeah, I used to go to the Torch when I was a kid. And they'll look at you like, what are you talking about? And that's where supposedly the finger steak was invented. And
right.
For newer listeners in the Valley, finger steaks are little chunks of steak fried in batter, and they're delicious. They're really only known here.
And apparently the Torch had the best ones around.
They had the first and the best.
So do you get the recipe with that too?
I don't think so. I don't want to know what recipes you get at strip club. It's been very hard not to make jokes about this story that are inappropriate. But yeah, I mean, it's interesting. And I think the land value is probably driving this, plus the liquor licenses, which are going for about 180 grand in Boise right now.
Well, that's the thing. If you look at the liquor license, but the land, because it's, yes, that plot of land downtown, especially yep. with, I think, the Red Lion downtown are getting that full remake. But even where it's located up on Vista, I mean, you've got that whole apartment complex that's built right there. And you're so close to downtown, frankly.
Well, and the one downtown is near the proposed sports park. So if that sports right. park goes in, that is going to be very valuable.
It is. And I think that's partly driving this. The price is maybe a little high. This is one of those where you put it out on the market.
Start high.
And then you're like, oh, hey, the Boise dev guy found that and posted it, huh? Hmm. So, you know. We'll
maybe see. They'll take $3 million.
Yeah. And they didn't talk to me. The Statesman also did a story. They didn't talk to them. So I think they're just kind of seeing what the market looks like.
Well, and if you can get it, right? That's what it comes down to.
Right.
I want to thank you guys for coming in today. One of my favorite segments of the week. Our guest today, James Dawson, with our own Boise State Public Radio News, Scott McIntosh with the Idaho Press, and Don Day with BoiseDev.com. You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette.